This is Childhood Matters, presented by Interactive Parenting Media.
Childhood Matters.
For parents and everyone else who cares for or about kids.
We are family.
Here's your host, Rona Renner.
Good morning and welcome to Childhood Matters. You know, these days I've been hearing parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles say that modern kids are spoiled and just don't get enough discipline or limits. I also hear about children who are in front of the TV or computer for hours each day and have very little family time with parents who are relaxed and attentive. Some children are given too many rules and harsh punishment that encourages fear, a lack of trust and self-criticism, while others are allowed to rule the household and develop a sense of entitlement and disrespect. So what's your automatic parenting style, and how do you figure out what your particular child needs? I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to anyone who cares for and about children. So here's an example of how some parents give mixed messages to their kids and don't really mean what they say. One day I heard a father at the farmer's market say to his four-year-old son, "If you don't stop crying for a cookie, we'll leave without anything." The child looked at his dad for a minute, and then the friend his dad had been talking to, and then started to cry louder, saying, "You're so mean. I never get what I want." The father didn't mean what he said about leaving, and his son knew that he could get away with his demands. He had learned that it was okay not to obey, so he increased his crying and he embarrassed his dad. The father leaned over and made a deal with him about getting one cookie only and then behaving well for the rest of the morning. Sound familiar? This father did have other options, but in the moment, he just reacted to his son in a familiar way and got a familiar result. His son learned once again that he could get what he wanted when he wanted it and didn't really need to listen to his dad. If this father had realized that it was close to lunchtime and his son was hungry, the meltdown may not have even happened. If he handled the crying without the threat of leaving or giving in to his child's demands, he would have figured out what to do. It takes a lot of thought and practice to provide guidance and structure while staying calm. If you want to be part of this conversation this morning, call us, 877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. You can also email us anytime at info@childhoodmatters.org. What's your parenting style? And do you and your spouse or partner agree on when to give in or hold the line? And if you're a single parent, do you find yourself ping-ponging back and forth between the strict person and the one who gives in? And also, before I introduce our guests, I want to let you know about a wonderful event on November 7th. We'll be celebrating Childhood Matters' 8th birthday and Nuestros Niños' 7th birthday at El Rio in San Francisco. Be a great afternoon party, salsa dancing, refreshments. I have tickets to give away on today's show worth $20 each. So call in with a question or comment and then join us on November 7th. Also, I have some great parenting books to give away this morning. We look forward to hearing from you. Joining us in the studio is Karen Friedland Brown. She's a child development specialist and director of Parents Place in Palo Alto and San Mateo. She's been a parent educator for more than 20 years after many years as a resource specialist in the special education field. She specializes in guiding parents in areas such as social emotional development, temperament, discipline, school issues, peer relationships, and bullying prevention. She lectures, teaches workshops, sees parents individually, and does home and school observations, and also provides staff trainings at schools and child care centers, and is a contributor to the revised edition of Parent Making, a practical handbook for teaching parents. Karen Friedland Brown, welcome.
It's delightful to be here.
Great to see you this morning. Also with us is Terry Consarez. She's the author of Raising a Superstar and the founder of the Great Parenting Academy in Concord. Terry immigrated to three different countries while raising her daughter alone, conquering language, culture, and financial challenges. She has a master's degree in industrial psychology and really has done extensive research on people, potential, and productivity. She is a successful businesswoman, coach, consultant, and national speaker. In her best-selling book, Raising a Superstar, she shares simple strategies to bring out the brilliance in every child. Terry Kansari, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Thank you for having me. I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
Really wonderful to meet you, Terry. We've been friends on Facebook, yes. But now we meet in person. So, Karen, you've been working with parents for a long time in different capacities. Tell us about the shift you're seeing in parenting styles from years ago, perhaps.
Yes. Well, it parallels my own experience with parenting. In my generation, I now have a 22-year-old, and in my generation, we were raised by parents who weren't necessarily focused on our emotional growth and were much more focused on teaching children to behave. And as the generation shifted, I found personally that in my attempt to tune into my child's feelings, I often had a very difficult time setting boundaries and setting limits. And so the shift that I've noticed with other parents as well is parents today now struggle much more with being firm and finding a way to set boundaries in a kind manner. And so we do see parents struggling much more with being overindulgent.
That's really interesting. And I think that's why I often think about the middle ground parent. You know, how do you stay attentive to a child's feelings and emotional state and also the meaning of their behavior? But how do you give them that guidance that they need? How do you set the limits and provide that structure that children really do need and want? Mm-hmm. And it's that middle ground that I think we're really striving for, right?
Yes, exactly. And one of the ways that I found, and I think parents find really helpful, is to remind themselves the meaning of discipline. Discipline means to teach and to guide. It doesn't mean punishment. So when we set limits, when we're firm, when we're clear about our expectations with our children, we're teaching them how to behave and how to eventually discipline themselves so they can be stronger.
Thank you for saying that. And, you know, we're talking about this morning in a way that we hope will stimulate your thinking. But also keep in mind, we know how easy it is to talk about it and that the reality of doing it is so much harder. So we're not here to judge anyone. We all know that this is the challenge. But sometimes hearing it and giving your ideas and questions can really help and make a difference. Terry, you've experienced many different cultures and given a great deal of thought on how to raise healthy and happy children. What do you notice about parenting styles, and do you think children are being overindulged?
Well, what I observe is that parents are less and less considering children's individuality, and there is either a lot of pressure to do certain things because parents think this will get them to a better place in life, and they don't consider that children are different. And if you like basketball, it doesn't mean that your child has to be great in basketball. They might love soccer. Let them do something, but help them choose what they're good at and what they love to do because it's in them, and consider their individuality. And the other thing that is the problem, like you were saying in that in your example that the dad was screaming, is
the child was crying.
The child was
crying, and the dad
crying.
Was
the dad
giving
was,
in.
Yeah. The thing is, we don't consider being the role model for our children a lot of times. And that's a very important point, because what I see in parenting is it's a journey that will make us to a better person.
Right.
If we really watch what we are doing and how we give guidance to our children and how we live our own lives. If I do one thing and I say to my child, do another, a different thing, and then I start screaming and say, you don't yell at me, and right. while I'm yelling at him right. or her.
It's a great example.
How do I expect them to follow anything? The first thing is being role model.
It starts with us. It mm-hmm. just really starts with us, and it's our own attention to our imperfection, too. And I think that's the important thing. What you said is key, and I think, Terry, I just want to say to parents is, if you're too hard on yourself, you won't notice. So observe what you do, but don't be too hard on yourself, because otherwise you'll just shut down.
Yes.
So how to start observing and paying attention and taking care of yourself, reducing your stress.
Yes.
You're more likely to help guide your child.
Yes.
So thank you for that. That's a really good point. We want to hear from you this morning. 1-877-372-KIDS. And we're going to start off with our live line this morning. We have Sarah joining us from Richmond. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Rona.
Thank you for calling this morning, Sarah. How old is your child?
He's 5 and a half.
5 and a half. Do you have a question for us?
I do.
Okay.
I tend to get in trouble with my son when I ask him to do something that I know he can do, like maybe put his clothes into the laundry basket or make his bed, like just simply, and then he'll refuse, and he'll just dig in his heels and say that he can't, and that he won't really be able to give me a reason why, or else maybe he'll just delay and drag it out so long that we don't have time to really do a bath or do whatever we were going to do. And it just makes me crazy inside, because I know he can do these things,
mm-hmm.
but in the moment he just won't.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if I just let go of it and let him, like, sort of win in that situation, or just let him get away with getting out of doing something, then I'm establishing a pattern where he can have a tantrum and get what he wants, just like what you said about the man at the farmer's market.
Yeah,
I don't know how to get out of it.
Great example. Yeah. Great question. There are a lot of parents nodding their heads saying, yeah, I know that one. Karen, let's start with you on this.
Okay. Well, that is about as typical a problem as you can possibly imagine. I think every parent struggles with that on a daily basis. And so the first thing to start with is to figure out, you know, where's this behavior coming from? And oftentimes, children get into refusal or uncooperative behavior because it works for them. They're able to get their needs met. And often the need that's being met is a need for attention. And so your child has figured out that when he refuses, you're going to get engaged with him and give him a lot of attention. And yes, it's negative attention, but kids aren't very discerning about what kind of attention they get, and they'll take whatever they can get, and negative works well. And also, he has some power and some control over his environment when he's able to engage you in that way. So one of the ways to be an authoritative parent and not too harsh of a parent or too permissive of a parent is to really set out expectations and make sure that he knows exactly what's expected of him and what the motivation is. Every time so for instance, putting clothes in the hamper, that's something that maybe it should be a daily routine at a certain time, the same time every day. And after clothes go in the hamper, then maybe he puts his PJs on, clothes go in the hamper, and then there's something fun to do.
That's a great concrete example of how to stop, take a look at what's going on, and think of some kind of structure that communicates the expectations. Terry, a thought for Sarah on this? I'm sure you can relate to it. We all can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with Karen on what she said. It's something that they know they can get attention, and they just do whatever it takes to get that attention that they need. Another thing that I could add into it is start doing it with them and give them recognition for what they can do and they are capable to do. If you tell your son, let's do it together, let's see if you can do it, and when they do it, give them recognition, not praise or reward or punishment. Just recognize the capability that they have and how responsible they can be and how great it is that they can take care of themselves and do something so wonderful for themselves. So this gives them the good feeling that the responsibility is on them, and it makes them responsible versus, okay, if I do it, I get reward from my mom.
And so there's a feeling of competence that gets
exactly
built. You know, the other thing, Sarah, I want to say is that all children are very different based on their temperament, and there are some kids who are slow adapting, especially to transitions and changes. And I want to throw in the temperament piece here, that sometimes what happens, and I could speak for myself and other parents, I see that we're rushing and we have an agenda, and all of a sudden we're saying, oh, clean up, oh, do this. And a child, especially if they're a little slow to adapt, gets startled, and they have to finish what they're doing. And so if they're very intense, their reaction at that point might well be, no, I'm not doing it. And part of that no is, mom or dad, you've just interrupted my most important Lego structure here. And so one thing to keep in mind for a child, knowing their temperament, is to think about, how do I give them warnings also about what's going to happen? Here's the timer. You've got 10 more minutes to finish up, and then it's going to be time to clean up. And most kids, if you set that timer, will really get that they need to do this. And then when you're not upset and when your child isn't acting out, have a little meeting together and have a little heart-to-heart and say, you know, things aren't going so great in the morning. We're going to make some changes and have that discussion together. So there's a lot about understanding meaning. There's also a lot about structure, and then trying your best to not be too rushed yourself. Does any of this make sense to you, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. Thank you so much. That's it's really, really helpful. And I realize a lot of times my son is tired. This could be also part of it when he digs in his heels. But everything you're saying about... that is really helpful. Thank you.
Good. Well, we have a book for you. It's called Kids, Parents, and Power Struggles by Mary Sheedy Krasinka. She wrote Raising Your Spirited Child, and, you know, she has strategies to stay connected with your child, bring down the intensity, understand what your child is doing, why they're misbehaving, and also stop the tantrums. Let me know how you like it. Okay, Sarah?
I will. It sounds perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Let's try and get another call in before our break. We have Oswaldo with us from Livermore. Good morning, Oswaldo.
Good morning, Rana. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So you have a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to ask me your question, and we may have to go to the break before we finish, but go ahead. Okay.
I'm sorry.
You get to go. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I always been a middle-ground parent and has always worked really well with my son, Skyler. But most recently, I gained temporary full custody, physical and legal.
Uh-huh.
And I'm having a tough time because he went through so much to recreate what I always had, you know, the... you know, a tiny bit of structure, a tiny bit of discipline, lots of daily routine, because I feel that he needs to be in charge, and he likes to be more in charge right now because he needs that. So how can I cope with this and make sure that things will not get out of control and I won't be able to recreate what always worked in my household and always made him very happy?
You know, I really appreciate your question, Oswaldo, because what you're saying is things change and life happens, and, you know, what you're dealing with is a child who's just gone through trauma. And I think, you know, being able to address that is really important while at the same time providing him structure. You know, we're going to a break very quickly, Karen, so I'd like to come back to this. And I think that the key here is about tolerating the challenges when things happen and not being afraid of the future and really being able to stay with what your child is asking for, but also what they need in the moment. So what we'll do, Oswaldo, can you stay on the line with us?
Yes.
Okay. We'll come back and address this. I appreciate your question this morning. We're talking about middle ground parenting, and in a moment, we'll take your call.
And get involved.
Call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
More with Rona Renner after this.
Here is this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Enjoy art activities, presentations, and performances for the whole family at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. Admission is free today, October 17, from 11 to 4. For more information, call 415-357-4000. That's 415-357-4000. Take a free opportunity to ask a nanny expert at a workshop at Parents Place in San Mateo. Bring your challenges, questions, and concerns. Monday, October 18, from 7 to 8. For more information, call 650-931-1801. That's 650-931-1801. Get a checkup at the Look Good, Feel Great Youth Health Fest at the Mike in downtown San Rafael. There will be live music, health services, prizes, and more. Wednesday, October 20, from 4 to 6:30. For more information, call 415-456-1146. That's 415-456-1146. Bring your questions and concerns about kindergarten to a resource night at Parents Place in Palo Alto, Thursday, October 21, from 6 to 8. For more information, call 650-688-3040. That's 650-688-3040. Find resources for families and their babies at the East Bay Baby and Kids Fair at the Scottish Rite Center in Oakland. Mark your calendars for Sunday, October 24, from 11 to 4. For more information, visit eastbaybabyfair.com. That's eastbaybabyfair.com. Don't forget to get your tickets and mark your calendar for Childhood Matters El Rio Birthday Celebration, Sunday, November 7, from 1:30 to 5. For more information, call 510-663-5437. That's 510-663-5437. For additional information, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
It's never too early to prepare your child for the transition to kindergarten. For many children, the first day of school can be scary. Here are some tips to ease the transition. Read about school. Go to your local library and check out books about starting school. These books can show how other children work through their fears of going to a new classroom. Read these stories with your child and encourage questions. Talk about school. Conversations about school help your child know what to expect and ease fears. Talk about the classroom, teacher, and daily routine. Help build your child's confidence by listening to their fears or doubts. Visit the school. Before classes are in session, plan a fun outing to show your child the school grounds and answer their questions. Kindergarten registration has begun. Call your neighborhood school or district office to inquire about the registration process. For more information on programs for young children, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Now the man at my house is so big and strong.
Today we're talking with Karen Friedland Brown, a child development specialist and director of Parents Place in Palo Alto and San Mateo, and Terry Consari. She's the author of Raising a Superstar and the founder of the Great Parenting Academy in Concord. And I just want to mention, relevant to today's topic of parenting styles, Dr. Christine Carter and I are doing weekly 10-minute podcasts called Happiness Matters. Check out our website at childhoodmatters.org to find out more. It's a great way to take a few minutes each week to remember your goals and learn more about the science and practice of raising happy kids. We have Oswaldo with us. He has a 9-year-old, and he's just recently gotten physical custody of his son and is, you know, having some struggles with finding that middle ground parenting and discipline. Terry, maybe you can speak to Oswaldo first.
Sure. I can relate to this situation on a personal level. I was a single mom raising my child, and I understand when children start questioning love and the fact that parents are not together, and maybe it's my fault, or am I being loved enough? The key in this situation is give as much as you can love and surround the child with people who love them so they see they're loved, and communicate the fact, because it's very important for the child to know they are loved and the situation is not something that it's their fault or anything like that. Talk about share stories of people who have gone through similar situation, and at the end they see everything is good, the light is at the end of the tunnel. I had gone through the same situation. I want to just give you good news that at the end everything is great. My daughter is 26 right now, and she's a human rights attorney. She runs marathons, she dances, she speaks 6 languages, and she's just in a great place in life. It was all because of communication, love, and being there when they needed, giving quality time, not quantity. You don't need to be there all the time. Mm-hmm. Just the times that you're there, communicate things in a proper way.
And I think the resilience that children have is really powerful, but at the same time, we have to tolerate their sadness and their emotions. Karen?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. One, first of all, I just commend you for what you're doing. It's an enormous job. It's very challenging. And it sounds like you are so conscious of what your son needs. And I really am very impressed with that.
He's an advanced student, and he's happy. It's just I feel that he wants to be more in charge of the environment.
Right, because he needs control of something. You know, if he doesn't have control about his mom or his life, he needs. Mm-hmm. He needs to have some
and
control.
And so you can actually capitalize on that with him and talk to him about the things that he is in charge of, and really use that language. You're in control. You're in charge of yourself, and giving him responsibilities, keeping the expectations of him very high, even though you're concerned about his emotional health right now because of what he's gone through, and but giving him a sense of competence is what's going to help him cope and be resilient. And you can communicate to him, which I know you already are, you can communicate to him that you know he can handle it, and he gets that sense from you that you believe in him.
And then when he has his meltdowns, if he does, then you're there listening and realizing there are some things you can't fix. And that if you can tolerate that feeling also, Oswaldo, you'll show him that it's okay to cry. Men can cry. Men can feel sad. And then there's a new day and we move on. And so you're really modeling also for him how to be a man who has both feelings and also resiliency. Oswaldo, Terry just told me we can give away one free pass to the Great Parenting Academy that's happening in November, on November 6th. In Concord. You already signed up. Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. Well, that's terrific. And then so instead, I'm going to give you a book called Kids, Parents, and Power Struggles. And I appreciate your call, Oswaldo.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work. And Terry's thinking maybe I should give you a copy of her book called Raising a Superstar, How to Bring Out the Brilliance in Every Child. Take good care, Oswaldo. We'll see you soon.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Pick up the phone and get involved. Call Childhood Matters now at 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 1-877-372-KIDS.
We're going to take another call, but Terry, you said that anyone listening could put in, tell us about your event and how they can also sign up and get $5 off.
Oh, yeah. We have this event on November 6th, and if you want to sign up, you go to greatparentingacademy.com and click on register now, and in the discount box, put Kiss FM, KISS FM, and you will get a $5 discount of every ticket that you buy.
Thank you so much. Let's take another call. We have Ricardo from Salinas holding on for us. Thanks for waiting, Ricardo.
You're welcome.
So what's your question?
My question is, how do I make my 23-year-old and my 23-year-old back to be independent?
Aha! You're a parent who has their young adults living at home with you?
Yes.
And are they living at home because of the economic struggles?
No, they decided at a young age, just like me and my wife, to run off and think that they're in love, and it didn't work out, and they came back. Now we're helping them raise the grandchildren.
Uh-huh. So you have the grandchildren living with you also?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot of work, Ricardo. There are a whole lot of grandparents out there taking this on. And first of all, I just want to say they're very lucky to have you, who is willing to help them out. And then the question you're asking is, how do you get them back on their, help them get back on their feet and become independent?
Me and my wife, we both grew up in a hard family. And the way we were raised up, we were, you know, always getting hit.
Always getting hit, yeah.
And then, but besides also me, I was also spoiled. I'm my dad's only son.
Uh-huh.
So I got everything I also wanted.
Uh-huh.
Besides the hardship.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So you got both the hard stuff and you got what you wanted. You know, parenting is hard work, figuring out how to deal with kids. Let's see if we can give you anything here that might help. You know, I think, Karen, if you can say something about, even with adult children, that middle ground of how you can both be loving and also set limits, this might help.
Yeah. Yes, you have a big job in front of you here. I think that it starts with communication. And I think if you could find a way to have some conversations with your adult children to help them start thinking about what are their goals? What are their goals for their children? They love their children. They want to do well by their children, but they're struggling to get on their feet themselves. So perhaps you can get them thinking in a forward way by getting them to tune into the love they have for their children and the goals they have for their children. What do they want for their kids? And of course, they want their kids to be happy and healthy and strong. And when they can start talking about that and focusing on that, then perhaps you can help have a conversation with them about what they need to do in order to support their kids. And also, as we talked about before, modeling. You can help your adult children understand that their children are watching them, and that they want to model for their children taking responsibility, working, taking care of business, and and I think that might be a way you can reach your children in a way that isn't judgmental but is supportive.
You know, Ricardo, I think the idea of also setting boundaries, because you and your wife also have a life, and perhaps the way you can do that, again, in a loving way, is make sure you're having that family meeting about who's doing what. You know, who's cleaning, who's cooking, when do you and your wife have time away from the kids? Do you feel you're taking care of yourself? What, Ricardo?
That we do not have time away from the kids.
And you need it.
Yeah, we tried, and for some reason they keep, tagging along.
Okay, so Ricardo, this is where the parent, the middle ground parent, is a parent who realizes if they don't take care of themselves, if they don't put on their own oxygen mask, they're not going to be of good use to anyone, you know, and you're probably not, you know, in your, you're probably, you know, in the part of your life. I'm a 62-year-old, so I don't know how old you are, but I'm sure you're moving up there. You need to make sure you are getting what you need. So you've got to sit down with your your kids without the children around, when without the babies around, when they're sleeping, and say, okay, mom and I need some boundaries here. We need some time alone. We're going to figure it out together.
Create a schedule.
Create a schedule. Ricardo, it's very important you take care of yourself while you're helping your family. And you are then modeling that also. I want to really encourage you to do that. If you want to email me offline, I'll keep encouraging you, okay?
Thank you. I mean, I've had that conversation the way you've explained it with them and everything. And first, like I said, me and my wife, we got good hearts. We love our children, and we can't just throw them out.
No, you don't have to go to the extreme of throwing them out. The thing to start doing is to start setting boundaries. And then there's the action of it. So, in fact, you say to them, by the way, this weekend, Mom and I are going over to, Carmel for a night. You have to take action that shows them that you also have a life while you're being a kind and generous father. I'm going to send you a great little CD called Juno Baby. We met the folks who started the Juno Company. And there's a nice CD for the little ones. And we'll send you a copy of Kids, Parents, and Power Struggles, because your kids need some help also probably in setting limits. Thank you, Ricardo, for calling. Okay. It's such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, my pleasure. Let's take a listen to what some fathers have to say about middle ground parenting.
I'm associate producer Felsha Zuschlag, and this week I spoke with three fathers about their feelings on middle ground parenting. How would you describe your parenting style?
I try not to be too hard, and I try to listen to what the kids want or, you know, what they got to say, even though they are young. And a lot of parents don't do that. They try to speak for their kids and let their kids know what they want. Sometimes you got to listen to the kids. So sometimes they get away with murder, sometimes they don't.
It changed considerably over the years. It was basically on-the-job training.
Old-fashioned, something like my parents.
And if your children were to evaluate you, where do you think you'd fall in the spectrum of too lenient or too strict?
I say sometimes I'm too strict, sometimes I'm lenient, depending on what it is that they're asking for or want. So they probably say I'm strict.
Probably too strict, but I was doing it for their own good.
I think I'm strict, but I think they say I'm a fun dad.
Do you think that kids these days are spoiled?
I don't think they're spoiled. I think they just got a lot of access to stuff that we didn't have when we were their age, as far as video games, electronics. So I wouldn't say that they are spoiled. They want a lot that they see because they see it, and they see everybody else or their friends might have it. So I don't think they're spoiled, because it's still up to us if we're going to get it for them or not.
Kids are kind of spoiled with computers and iPods and that sort of thing, electronics.
No, I don't really think they're spoiled. I don't think they have a lot to do these days.
And how do you keep humility and gratefulness alive in your home?
I try to show them different things. Like, I watch a lot of Discovery Channel and History Channel with the kids and show them how other countries, how they might not have certain things as running water. And so you got to be blessed for what you have and just be grateful for if you get what you want, you know. And try to listen to them if they're, you know, old enough to tell you what they want.
Be firm, but let them explore.
Be thankful. I'm always telling them to be thankful, and they're pretty much happy with what we have.
Do you have any other thoughts about how to be a balanced parent?
Try not to have a heart attack. That's all I can say. Stay patient. Stay patient.
Spare the rod, spoil the child is not the way to go. Like I say, you have to be firm and follow through with your kids.
Get plenty of rest.
For Childhood Matters, I'm Felsha Zuschlag.
I love it. I love it. Get plenty of rest and don't have a heart attack. So, Terry, any response to these great dads?
Well, I think a lot of it was the reality that, we give a lot to our children now these days. And what I see in addition to it is there is less and less quality time with children. And people mix quantity with quality. They think if they're physically in the same room or in the same house, that's time with kids. It's not. If they're sitting and playing computer games and you're on your cell phone or home phone and nobody is having any communication, any direct something that you're creating or you're discussing, that's not quality time. That is what is missing these days. Kids are too busy with too many things except for the quality time that they need with their parents to create that relationship and, just... bonding that is missing.
That's right. To do things together, to learn, to explore. Karen, what was your reaction to these dads?
Very wise dads. Very wise dads. But I think one thing that came out that's so important for parents to remember, and that I struggled with myself, is how easy it is to become permissive. Things are going smoothly. Your child's in a good space, and suddenly you find yourself being pushed, and you become anxious, your child's acting spoiled, your child's out of control, and you become overly harsh in response.
Absolutely. So you can ping pong back and forth for sure. There's a lot more to talk about. We're talking about middle ground parenting. Give us a call in just a minute.
Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
Join Nurse Rona, Dr. Marisol, and the team of Interactive Parenting Media as they celebrate their birthday at El Rio Salsa Club in San Francisco's beautiful Mission District. There will be live entertainment, refreshments provided by La Cocina Poblana, and more. This event is only open to individuals 21 and over. Sunday, November 7th from 1:30 to 5 p.m. Tickets are tax deductible, cost $20, and are available online or over the phone. For more information, call 510-663-5437 or visit childhoodmatters.org.
Explore the Tech Museum in San Jose. A new interactive exhibit about Silicon Valley opens mid-September. For more information on this and many more exhibits, visit thetech.org. That's TECH.ORG.
This is Nurse Rona with news for parents, providers, and everyone who cares about kids. Childhood Matters is now podcasting. So many people have told me they love our show but can't listen on Sunday mornings. Now it's easy to get our shows on your iPod or MP3 player and take us with you. Sign up for podcasting today at childhoodmatters.org. And if you or someone you know speaks Spanish, click on the Nuestros Niños logo and learn about our sister show in Spanish with Dr. Marisol.
Did you know that a recent parent survey showed that nearly 20% of Bay Area parents are concerned that their preteen may be depressed? At KidsData.org, you can learn more about issues that affect the health and well-being of children in the Bay Area. KidsData.org provides easy-to-access information and resources for those who influence kids' lives. You can find data by region, topic, or demographic, such as ethnicity or age. Visit KidsData.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
Cavities affect more children than any other chronic disease. Baby teeth are especially important to children's development. These teeth help chew food, enable children to speak clearly, and hold space so permanent teeth can grow straight. Starting good dental habits when children are young protects their smiles and helps keep them healthy for a lifetime. Here's what you can do at home. Before your baby has teeth, wipe the gums gently with a clean wet cloth after each feeding. Don't put your baby to bed or a nap with a bottle or sippy cup. When your baby's first tooth appears, start brushing the teeth with fluoride toothpaste in the morning and before bedtime. To avoid spreading the germs that can cause cavities, don't put anything in a child's mouth that's been in your mouth. Don't share spoons, cups, or toothbrushes. It is recommended that children have their first dentist appointment around 1 year of age, even if your child doesn't have many teeth. For more oral health tips, contact your local Bay Area First Five County Commission by visiting firstfivekids.org/bay. Brought to you by your local First Five.
My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I traveled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
We continue with Childhood Matters, brought to you in part by your local First Five.
Join in the conversation at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Here's more with Nurse Rona on Childhood Matters.
Today, we're talking with Karen Friedland Brown, a child development specialist and director of Parents Place in Palo Alto and San Mateo, and Terry Consari. Terry is the author of Raising a Superstar and the founder of the Great Parenting Academy in Concord, and that's coming up on November 6th. We also have a great event on November 7th, so give us a call and perhaps you will get a ticket to our event. Oh, you know, I'm thinking I'd like to give our first caller, Sarah, a ticket. So, Sarah, if you're still listening, we'll give you a ticket to El Rio in San Francisco to do some salsa dancing with us. I also have a book called How to Unspoil Your Child Fast. And, you know, I tend to keep away from the idea of spoiling so much because people interpret that so differently. What does it mean to spoil or unspoil? Sometimes people call spoiling loving a baby, holding a baby. But this book is actually really good. Richard Broomfield, PhD, and he has, if you feel like you're really overindulging your child, this has some really great things. And also we have Terry's book, Raising a Superstar, and it's really about simple strategies to bring out the brilliance in every child. And every child is brilliant. Just keep that in mind. Wake up this morning and see your brilliant child. And we mean brilliant in terms of creative, alive, wonderful, not necessarily getting A's in school. Karen, for those parents who are finding that, you know, they find themselves, do it because I said so, and really stressed and strict and causing a lot of tension at home, do you have any suggestions for how they could start approaching changing their parenting style a little bit, shifting it?
There's a couple things to think about. One is oftentimes we lose it with our kids when we're really struggling with what I like to call recurring hassles, things that keep happening over and over again. And we know our child knows what they're supposed to do, but they keep fighting us on it. And so when you recognize that you're in a recurring hassle, that you're experiencing something over and over with your child, that's a signal to step back and to figure out how can I change the environment? How can I do something differently here to get them to think about this, instead of just repeating the same pattern over and over again? So that's one thing. And another thing that comes up for a lot of parents is our anxiety level. Oftentimes we're exhausted or we're so anxious about how our child is doing or what we should be doing for our child that we can overreact. So it's important to get support. It's important to step back and talk to other parents or talk to some other professionals and get a sense of what is reasonable to expect of your child. And then thirdly, there's another great strategy. If you find yourself in a power struggle with your child, they're not going to back down, but you can. You can say, you know what, we're fighting, this isn't working. I'm going to go finish unloading the dishwasher, and I know when I come back, you're going to have your PJs on. So sometimes if we just step back and give them a chance to make the decision on their own without us on top of them, they'll come around when the pressure's off.
Those are really good ideas. And I think if what you're doing isn't working and you're tense, your children are tense, and the household feels like this isn't a fun place to be, you really need to step back and evaluate yourself. We have to start with ourselves. We have to start looking at, what's my stress level like? Who am I? Am I imitating my parents? Am I just doing what my parents did? Or am I going to the opposite extreme? And now my parents were so strict that now I'm giving in all the time and afraid to ever tell my child what to do. So I think that's really important. Terry, for you, I'm thinking about all the single parents who listen. And I know I was a single parent for a little while. And it seems like that middle ground parenting is hard because you're often feeling guilty if you're too strict or exhausted if you give in too much. How did you figure out how to find that middle ground, if you did?
Oh, definitely. It's you're absolutely right, it's much harder being a single parent and finding the middle ground, because you have to be strict and you want to be nice. You don't want to lose your bonding and love that you give to your child. And at the same time, you don't want to take it too easy and you lose your children. So it's the right balance that you have to create. And one thing that I would add to what Karen said, which was all those points or were great points, in addition to that, I would say take some time doing something for yourself. Step out of your immediate life with your children and work and home and nothing separate. Where you are without your child. If it is taking a little walk, if it is going to the gym, if it is spending time with a girlfriend to just let out and feel peace with yourself and do something that makes you feel relaxed, whatever it is, whatever gives you that pause. You need pause, especially if you're a single parent, to just separate yourself and see how much you love and, you know, just observe what you're doing with your child to do better next day.
That's right. It really does start with yourself. And I think that if you also are having conflict with your partner, one is too strict, one is too lenient, see if you can talk about how to learn from each other. So if the parent who gives in all the time would start to set some limits, and the parent who's very strict and reactive could start to say, okay, let me be the one to read the bedtime story. Let me read two stories instead of one. And sort of match each other a little bit. That will help you move to the middle ground. If you just polarize, you'll be resentful of each other, and your child will also learn over time how to play you. Mommy will give in, so I'll ask her, and Daddy will give me the money, but I can't ask him for anything else. Whatever it is. So as couples, you want to really acknowledge each other, not blame, not criticize, but see if you could figure out how you can meet in the middle. You know, so much of this is about differences, not right or wrong. So this morning, step back, think about where you have those hard spots, and take a look at what happens around them before or after. Karen Friedland-Brown, we're just about out of time. Give us a final word and how people can find out about your great classes at Parents Place.
Yes, we'd love to see you there. ParentsPlaceOnline.org is our website, and it gives all our workshops. We have a changing menu of workshops and events every quarter. We have parenting consultation and a wonderful playroom and lots of activities for children. So ParentsPlaceOnline.org.
And a final word?
And a final word is that you're doing the world's most important job. It's never easy, but it's incredibly satisfying, and you know your child best. Listen to your heart.
Thank you. And Terry, a final word about how people can go to this great event.
Yes. You go to www.greatparentingacademy.com. And you register for the event that is for November 6th. And we have great speakers, great program all day. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you so much, Terry. Thanks for joining us. And folks, don't go away. Stay tuned for our community report now, brought to you by the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health.
I'm Associate Producer Lacey Daniel, and this is the Childhood Matters Community Report. 10 to 15% of California's children have a special health care need, conditions ranging from asthma to leukemia. I spoke with pediatrician Dr. David Alexander, president of the Lucille Packard Foundation for Children's Health, in a series about special needs.
This year, the nation passed its first significant health care reform. And for families, it's important to remember that the major thrust of this bill was not aimed at children. But the good news for California's kids is that health care reform will bring their parents into the insurance system. And children whose parents have health insurance are better integrated into the health care system. And there are two specific provisions in the health care reform bill that are helpful to children and to young adults. One is that children can no longer be denied coverage because of pre-existing conditions. And the other is for families who have children who are of college age, if you have private insurance, those carriers are now going to be required to offer insurance to the children of families until they're 26. I think it's important to remember that one of the things that healthcare reform does not do is target some of the issues that have been challenging for children in the delivery system. One of the areas that some of us had hoped would be fixed was the fact that children have a hard time getting the care they need. Access to care has been limited, largely because the funding for pediatric care has been less than the funding for adult care, and that was not fixed in healthcare reform. But those of us who care about kids are hoping that over the next several years, we'll continue to work to reform the delivery system to make sure that pediatric care is well funded so that kids can get better access to the care they deserve.
That was Dr. David Alexander of the Lucile Packard Foundation for Children's Health. If you would like more information about special needs, call Family Voices of California at 415-282-7494 or visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. Brought to you by the Foundation and KidsData.org, your source for information about children's health in California. For Childhood Matters, I'm Lacey Daniel.
Thank you to our guests and all of our listeners. I'm grateful to our team, senior producer Zan West, producers Lacey Daniel and Felsha Zuschlag, Lorenzo Pasola at the controls, and Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services. I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina. This is Nurse Serona saying goodbye until next week. And parents, remember, spend time with your kids and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.